Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we're that people dashboard company that automates your entire HR reporting and analytics process. Tired of pulling spreadsheets from your separate HRIS, ATS, engagements, performance system, employer brand, all these different HR systems that you have to pull data from to do your reporting? Well, look no further. That's why we created Employee Cycle, the people dashboard that has pre-built connectors to all of the systems we know you're using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Paylocity, 15.5, ADP, Trinet, you name it. We can automatically pull all that data together into one source of truth so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your HR data from one place. Go to employeecycle.com to check us out and would love to give you a demo. But that's enough about me and our company because today we have a great guest on the show. So please help me welcome Debbie Herrera. She's the HR Director at Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. And today we're going to discuss how to redefine employee engagement with a hybrid workforce. Debbie, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Go, Debbie!
Thank you so much, Bruce. I appreciate being here today.
Awesome. So, Debbie, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
So, Bruce, that is a great question. So, at the very young age of 18, I remember being in a work environment with a lot of single, mostly single moms, and I remember watching them and really absorbing them and recognizing how much they were giving to the organization every day to provide for their children. And at the same time, me also realizing my own situation and knowing that I had a choice to do something else if I wanted to, and watching them, again, just have that sense of providing for their kids. And I just remember thinking, is the company giving to them what they are so much giving back to the organization? And what would I do if I were ever in a position of influence to ensure that the company, the culture, the benefits, so when they walked into the workforce every day, that they wanted to be there as much as they may need to be there?
Got it. Thanks for that background. So, Debbie, today we're talking about how to redefine employee engagement with a hybrid workforce. And to make this as actionable as possible, I want to break this down into three different sections. The first is, how do you come up with a plan to create an employee engagement strategy with a hybrid workforce, assuming that your workforce was totally in person before? Then we're going to move into, what does this look like when you want to implement this employee engagement strategy for a hybrid workforce? And then we'll end with, how do you make sure it's working? What type of data are you tracking to make sure that people are really engaged and that people are getting a fair level of engagement with the hybrid workforce? How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right. So let's start off with the first section, which is the plan. What does that look like to come up with an employee engagement strategy for a hybrid workforce? What do you need to be thinking about?
So for us, and this is something that we're thinking about right now and have been for the last 6 months, especially as we position ourselves for that post-COVID space. Currently today, we have about 95% of our employees who work remote. Another 5% come in, they have a little bit more flexibility and what days of the week they want to go into the office. But what we do know is that because employees have had the benefit of really experiencing what it's like to be 100% remote, that we believe that more employees will choose to work more from home than coming in. As a result, part of that plan is looking at three specific areas. One, continuing to think about the health and safety of our employees and making sure that they feel comfortable being in an environment, even though what we perceive to be post-COVID, meaning that just feeling like they, you know, that we have protocols in place to where people just, again, just feel comfortable as far as not being right next to each other in the same cubicles that maybe they looked like before. The second piece is ensuring that we maintain our culture and the connection that we all have. and how do we continue to do that through different forms and really giving them an opportunity to stay connected, both within their own departments, but then also at the organizational level. And then the third is just maintain that level of engagement and making sure that the infrastructure is in place. And when I say that, I'm referring to the technology, the cultural norms around that. So if I'm in a meeting and I'm there in person, but half of my team is virtual, how do we create space for each other that is without judgment, that person's is at home and they elected not to come into the office, and why that's not necessarily needed or just not needed.
I love the three areas that you talked about: health and safety, culture, and infrastructure and technology. Because we're talking about redefining your employee engagement, which of those three require the most redefining? Which of those three require the most change? Or do you believe that all three of them are going to change equally?
You know, I have to say, I don't know that they require, or one requires more change than another. I think we've done a really fantastic job on maintaining our culture throughout the COVID period through different various ways that we've tried to connect with employees. Obviously, it's working well from an operational financial. We've had no impact to us operationally or financially. And so the technology, we feel like it's in place. And of course, because we've elected to be mandatory remote, the health and safety is always a priority for us. What I do think is most important, though, is just maintaining the culture, maintain the culture of the organization. We really pride ourselves on being a great place to work. Our employee engagement, that survey that we just did in November, is at 90% satisfaction. So for us, that has always been a priority for people to feel like what we do and how we serve the state of Colorado is the forefront of everything. And then how we serve and treat each other as coworkers is essential to that as well. And so this hybrid space is really that I feel just as connected to you, Bruce, even though we're in very different locations and not sitting side by side or necessarily on a couch, you know, having this conversation in a formal, you know, in a coffee shop, but instead so we create that space for people to maintain that comfort wherever they're at. And so it's really about meeting people where they are instead of saying, no, you need to come to us. And so it's finding that balance between the two.
So as everyone is working virtually and remotely now, where does the culture live? And what I mean by that is when you're in an office, sometimes you can just feel the energy, the vibe, a space. Just like if you're around somebody and they're sad or they're upset, you can feel their energy. But now it's really hard to do that because everyone is remote. Where does that culture live? Does it live on Slack or in Teams? How do you keep that culture together so that people understand what the company is all about, especially for new hires?
Yeah, so for us, we had the benefit of implementing Teams before COVID. So Teams has been a tremendous platform for us to allow us both, again, at the departmental level and the all staff level to feel really connected. And that's through the chat function. That's through the project teams that you can create within Teams. And so for us, to give an example at the all staff meeting, I always say it's such a beautiful love fest where people are in the chat really cheering each other on, acknowledging what the presentation is, really asking questions. And so I would say that two-way engagement has been just a beautiful thing to observe. And it has been actually quite different than when we were in the office. You know, you can't really do those sidebar chats for everyone to hear. And so in this case, it's been really nice to have a speaker, but then also hear and receive, you know, where people are at in that process. And, you know, so that's been great.
Got it. And then when it comes to now, I'm going to move into the second section of implementing this employee engagement strategy with this remote or hybrid workforce. What does that look like? And how is that different from rolling out an employee engagement strategy when everyone is in the office?
So part of that is recognizing that who's going to be in the office, right? So who, you know, and we want people to have time to settle in. So I think that's the first part is not saying, okay, so what is your decision? Are you going to come in 50% of the time, 100% of the time, or 0% of the time, but then and not hold someone to that and not, and we, and us not make quick decisions based on that. And instead say, okay, so we're going to try this out, you know, and again, this is all post COVID of course, but, you know, we're going to take a few months and let people adjust and get a sense of, okay, so what does it feel like to be able to come into the office more freely, you know, where they feel safe, where they feel comfortable. And then from there say, okay, so what's the resources that we need to ensure that this works? Part of this is the cultural norms, right? Of saying, okay, so what worked in that meeting? Two people were home, two people were in the office. What could we have done differently for them to feel more engaged, for all people to feel more engaged in that, to feel like the communication was just as clear and just as open as it would have been if everybody was either virtual or in the office. So there's a learning space for that. And I always say, you know, so this giving people space with grace, if you will. And then the second piece of that is that once that kind of settles is just recognizing, okay, so what does need to change? I mentioned the technology, but the other piece is also the building, you know, the space itself. You know, we don't want people to be in the office and they're the only one in the quadrant. So how do we create a space that says, okay, we know 50% are going to be here, but how do they feel connected while they're there? And also, again, create sort of these like touchdown spaces where people are comfortable sharing space, because that's the other part, is that health and safety factor, where some people, you know, where touchdown spaces are, have been very common in the past, but what does that look like going forward? And how can we be respectful of, you know, where people are at, even in that journey, especially.
That's really interesting. And it seems like it's a very comprehensive plan and rollout. So then the last section that I want to ask about is, how are you going to track, you know, progress on this, your success rate, how engaged people continue to be post, I guess we can say post during COVID, depending on what time frame you're looking at. Ultimately, how are you going to know if this strategy actually worked?
Mm-hmm. Asking, always being in touch with employees and asking them, so what's working, what's not working. We did, and during the COVID, throughout COVID, we've done pulse surveys, we've done polling. That's another great feature within Teams, you know, that feels anonymous. And I shouldn't say feels anonymous, I mean, it is anonymous. But, and then, you know, then our regular employee engagement survey. So there's a great opportunity to do, you know, 10 quick questions. There's an opportunity to make sure that the leadership team is connected with their employees and really hearing not just from a survey question, but also getting direct feedback from departmental meetings, one-on-one meetings, and making sure that there's a channel to bring those up in the leadership team discussions. So really, it always comes back to just getting the input and using different forms in which to do that. But it's not just one survey tool. It's many forms that I think are critical, and just, you know, and validating, is this working?
Debbie, in the last 60 seconds, can you let our audience know that if there's anything that they should remember, or just one thing that they should remember from this interview as they're going through their strategy of trying to keep their culture together and keep their workforce engaged while also moving to a hybrid remote work strategy and work environment, what should they remember?
I would say, to me, culture is always the key. It's always the foundation. And so understanding your culture and being able to maintain that, while also acknowledging that to be innovative, that the workforce is changing, and to make sure to be able to respond to that and do it swiftly without compromising the organizational values or what is key to their success.
Debbie, thank you so much for your insight, knowledge, and experience as you're going through this real time. I'm sure you're helping so many HR leaders as they're listening to this. So thank you so much for being such an awesome guest on the podcast. Woo! Go,
Debbie! Thank you, Bruce. It's been a pleasure.
So, Debbie, where can people find you and Colorado Housing and Finance Authority online?
So Colorado Housing and Finance Authority, also known as CHAFA, is www.chafainfo.com. And I am Debbie, and I'm D Herrera, H-E-R-R-E-R-A, at chafainfo.com as well.
Thanks for that contact info. We'll definitely share it in the show notes when this episode airs. So if you enjoyed listening to this interview as much as Debbie and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because it shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first Employee Cycle interview that you're listening to, and now you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.